Thank God the anchor holds. And you're going to live in this world, in life, this journey called life. You're going to have some torn sails. The hull's going to be battered. You're going to go through some trouble. The Bible says we're a few days and full of trouble. And some people have the idea once you become a Christian, you don't have any troubles. No, you might have more. But here's the difference. The Lord Jesus is going through them with you. Now, y'all know I'm just an old country boy from West Virginia. My father, he's the king of the one-liners. And we'd never seen storms in our life like we've seen till I came down here to Tennessee. I mean, I've watched storms here back years ago. I hadn't been here long. And I mean, they snapped these telephone poles like toothpicks. And my dad and them was in West Virginia, and they'd call and check on us, and the storm would be coming. Here's what my dad would say: Mark, just hunker down and hold on. I want to tell y'all something right now. In the storms of life, you better get to Jesus. You better hunker down and hold on to Him. And just hunker down and hold on. And I'm going to tell you right now, the anchor will hold. That doesn't mean you're not going to go through some rough times, but I'm going to promise you this, He'll get you through them. Because He's always good, amen? He's always faithful. He doesn't work like we think He ought to work. But I'm thankful for the anchor that holds. And yes, it is in the storms of your life you're going to find out how much He proves Himself to you. I don't think He'd mind me saying this. Brother Eric, we talked on the phone for a good long while the other day. Eric Collins said to me, he said, Pastor, He's all I have. Now, he knows he has family. He knows he has a church family. But he said, I know this. He's all I have. He's all I can hold on to. And I said, and when you realize He's all you have, you realize He's all you need. And I thank God for that. Would you open your precious Bible this morning to the book of Jeremiah? The book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, chapter 23. Chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23. As all of you know, I've been preaching a series of messages on the Word of God. I've been using the metaphors of the Word of God. What God likens His Word unto. We've looked at the mirror. We looked at the Word of God as a mirror. If you've not been able to hear these messages, you can go online. You can watch them on Facebook, YouTube. You can even go onto our sermon audio page and you can listen to the messages. We've talked about the Word of God as a sword. We've looked at the Word of God as a mirror. Today I want to look at the Word of God as a hammer. As a hammer. And I want to just tell you, church, I just want you to be aware. Now, I probably will not get past the introduction today because I want to set the stage. And I want to just put a little plug in here for Sunday night. Sunday night is an encouraging, I think it's the most encouraging service of our week. The children get involved in it. We take up a bus offering and all the children can participate in that. And then normally, you know, the meat of Sunday morning messages are delivered on Sunday night. And so I want to encourage if you're able to come. We're only here about an hour. And we encourage you to be a part. So I just want you to know, to get the meat of this message, you'll probably have to listen to tonight. This morning will probably be mainly introduction. We'll just see how it goes. But in Jeremiah chapter 23, I want you to begin reading with me in verse 25. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25. I have heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll take your word, speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in this passage, there are two metaphors used for the word of God. The first one is fire. Look at verse 29. Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer? And we see that we see the two metaphors, fire and hammer. We're going to look at fire later, but this morning I want to deal with the latter of the two. This word of God is like a hammer. Now, to understand this passage of Scripture, we have to understand the context. We have to understand the context. Without reading the whole chapter, basically what's taking place here, the Jeremiah, the prophet called by God, as we were driving to church this morning, we are blessed to be able to have the grandchildren this morning, and little Cora was just driving down the road, and she looked at me driving. She's like, Paul, what caused you to be the pastor of the church? Well, children have the greatest questions, don't they? So I knew I didn't have long. I couldn't give her a 30-minute description, but I says, well, honey, we were already in West Virginia serving. The Lord called us into the ministry, and unbeknownst to us, the church here needed a pastor, so they reached out to us, and we surrendered to come. And here's the reason I wanted her to know: God called us. God called us. Notice in this passage, the Bible said that there are people that are speaking in His name that God didn't call. God didn't call. He said, I have someone against prophets. So what he's preaching here is that God is exposing the corruption and the lies and the dreams, the fairy tales of the prophets and the preachers that are preaching during this day and the day of the Jewish people. And he says, they're making my people err. They're following lies. Now, there's a great application there, church. We have to know what the Word of God says. We must know what's truth and what's error. By the way, the devil's really good at mixing the two. Really good at mixing the two. I know y'all know this old analogy, but if you'll ever look at rat poisoning, decon rat poisoning, if you look at the ingredients in it, listen to me, 99.95% is edible. It's truth. It's wheat. It's the real stuff. And it has to be that way, because if it's not real, the rat won't eat it. But if you look at the active ingredient, it's very small. It's 0.05% of the poison. The reason mankind knows, we got to trick the rat. So he mixes a lot of truth with just a little error. Just a little poison, but it's the little poison that kills the rat. And God's calling out these preachers. God is calling out these prophets and saying, look, they're getting up and they're speaking for me, but I want you to know they're not speaking for me. I want you to know what they're telling you is lies. What I want you to know is they're telling you dreams. They're telling you fairy tales, and they're making my people that are listening forget who He is. By the way, can I say here this morning, I don't care, and probably most of you want to, I don't care if you forget what I look like, and most of you wish you could forget what I sound like. But listen to me, I don't care if you forget what I look like, and you even forget what I sound like, but listen to me, the greatest important thing is not anything about me, don't forget Him. Hey, listen to me. He's very upset. God is revealing how angry He is with how they are leading His people to err. By the way, the situation in Jeremiah's day is not unlike our day. Sadly today, there are many people out there proclaiming and preaching and heralding things that are not true. They're not lining up with the Word of God. And the situation in Jeremiah's day was not unlike our day. In this chapter, God gives one of the most scathing indictments against false preaching. I mean, it's scathing. You read the whole chapter. I mean, it's scathing. I'll read and touch on a few high points here, but they were teaching the people that they had dreams instead of preaching what God says. Look at verse 28. The Bible says in verse 28 here, the prophet that had a dream, let him tell the dream, and let he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. In other words, so look, if you're going to have a dream, you've got to have a story time. You do that in another place. He said, don't get up and tell a story and tell about your dreams and say they're coming from me. He said, I want my word preached faithfully. Can I say, I'm thankful for our church. We believe in the preaching of God's word. And I want you to know the primacy of God's preaching is more important to me than any other thing. By the way, I'm glad we have talented musicians. I'm glad we have good music. Can we always improve? Sure, but I want you to know something. The primacy around here is the preaching of God's word. And I want to say to every young person here just a second, I'm for everything else in a church service, but I want you to know it's through the foolishness of preaching and who God saves. It's through preaching. I'm talking about a man just clearing a spot off and just preaching about how good God is. And by the way, he's good this morning. I want you to know it speaks to the heart of people because why? When we deal with his word, not my dreams. Look, I give illustrations every once in a while to try to bridge physical awareness to maybe a spiritual truth. But I want you to know something. We preach God's word here. And I'm thankful for God's word, and we want to preach it faithfully. And by the way, if there was somebody that came in here and they preached something error, they would never do it again. I'm not saying that ugly. I'm just telling you, we're going to guard our pulpit. We're going to guard the hearts of our people. I love every young person here, and God help us and anybody get behind this pulpit or behind a lectern in this church and say something that could hurt somebody. I'm for the truth, amen? And we ought to preach God's word. And man, God gave this scathing, I mean scathing indictment towards these false preachers. Wow, there was a war being waged that was against the faithfulness of God's word in this day. In this chapter, God gives this scathing. And listen, the false prophets were placing false hopes in their own imaginations. Now they were teaching the people what they had dreamed instead of preaching what God said. Look at verse number 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. In other words, that word vain means empty. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And boy, listen to me now, church. People love this kind of stuff. They love it. We love that kind of stuff. We would much rather hear a good, happy, motivational speech than a sermon. Look at verse 22. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. In other words, said, man, the preachers aren't preaching. They're not telling people the truth. Now, I'm going to talk about this in a minute. Look at verse 32. The Bible says, behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies. Then notice this, and by their lightness. I want you to mark that word lightness. What does that mean? Here's what it means. These preachers, these prophets, listen to me now. Y'all stay with me. Did not take the word of God serious. And I want y'all to know, I'm seeing a lot of that today. Now listen, I want everybody to understand me. I'm going to talk about this more a little bit later. I want y'all to know something. You know, I hate grass season. Y'all like grass season? I realize I'm going to mow my grass. And by the way, I mow my neighbor's grass too, the front yard. I trim it and I mow the front and trim the front and then I mow my... And I don't have help this year because Clay helped me. Don't y'all feel sorry for me. And I'm going to be honest, I think it's a testimony that you ought to keep your grass looking nice. I really do. I want my grass to look nice. I believe it's a testimony. I'd hate to think somebody drove by my house, looked at my yard and said, oh, I'll tell you what, that preacher in there, Tip Tony, he's lazy. He don't even keep his grass up. Looks like a forest. So I'm for cutting grass. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm amazed today that we live in a day, sadly, and I'm not ugly about it, it breaks my heart. I can't imagine that there are people that think cutting the grass is more important than where they spend eternity. That breaks my heart. In other words, here's what they've done. They've made church and they've made spiritual thing light. They don't think a whole lot. It's light to them. It's lightness. Why? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you was where I was yesterday when I went into a home of a dear precious man that just took his last breath, there was no lightness in that home. When I walked in that home and Mr. Tiffin had passed away, there was peace in that home. I'm going to tell you why. Because they didn't think the Word of God, it was important to them while they were living, so it was even important to them when he died. See, I live in a day, and in the ministry, man, I go and minister to people, and a lot of times when there's death or someone's sick, and I thank God for every opportunity, but I go in, and all of a sudden I realize people are starting to really start, man, they realize the thing about heaven and hell and our spiritual life. Really, when things happen like that, what happens? We don't think it's light anymore. We don't take lightness anymore. So look, if it's not light when someone dies, we ought not treat it lightly while we're living. I want y'all to know, you say, Pastor, you preach like this is the most important thing going on today. Look at me. It is. It is. I could cut 100 yards today. And you could say, man, Pastor, boy, he's a worker. And man, all them yards look great. But listen to me. That grass is going to burn up. It ain't going to matter a thing. But oh, if I get called down to the hospital tonight, I'm going to go down there and I have one message for them. Though your heart might be overwhelmed, you can be led to the rock that's higher than I. There's nothing like then. So I'll tell you what, I just don't like going down there where that preacher gets all excited and gets all passionate about it. Well, I wouldn't go hear a preacher that didn't. This thing is serious. People are dying. People are dying today. People are hurting today. People are looking for light today. And we as Christians have the light. We ought not be light about it. Everywhere we go, people ought to say, oh my goodness, here they come. They're going to tell me about Jesus. Oh my goodness, here comes that group from Tiftonia there. Oh, they're going to start inviting me to church. Well, you do it anyway. Let them look at you like that. That's a compliment, by the way. Why? Because you're not taking the things of God lightly. You know when the storms come, that anchor's going to hold. We ought not take it lightly. I don't want to be a part of a church where they take the Word of God. I don't like to be in one of them churches they spend an hour and a half praising and 2 minutes preaching. I want to be in one of them churches where they have some good music, but listen to me. A preacher just gets up, clears him off a spot, and has himself a time. And just preaches about the goodness of God. Amen. And just herald forth the Word of God. And I want you to know this morning, we see that God said he was angry. Why? They treated the things of God trivial. They treated like everything else was more important. And we live in that day. Look, they basically did not take their position serious. They didn't take the responsibility serious. They started to speak to minimize the importance of God and His judgments. Boy, that sounds like America today. Boy, they're flocking to hear motivational speakers today. Everybody wants to hear a good seminar. And by the way, I'm not against a good seminar. We have a generation that does not like preaching. You say, Pastor, how do you know? Because I'm told all the time. Well, don't preach to me. It amazes me. I'm not trying to be ugly, but many people call here at the church on a weekly basis asking for money. Now, here's the goal of people. They call and ask us for money. And so I talk to them. I say, well, look, before I'm going to help you, you're going to have to listen to me for a moment because I don't want to put a Band-Aid on your life. That's all they want. They want a Band-Aid. But see, what we have gives more than a Band-Aid. I know if that person that stands in need of help, if they get the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't be in that position long. And so here's what I'll say. Well, listen, before I can answer that question, I said, yes, we try to help people, but let me really help you. Let me talk to you about the Lord. And I don't know how many times someone said, I don't want a sermon. Bam! They look up and hang up on me. I'm like, all right, because you won't get it. And then I've had some, they sit there and listen to me, and here's what they say. Well, that's good and all, but what kind of money can you help me with? See, what do we live in this society? Oh, we don't want preaching, Pastor. Just help. Just give me, just help. Well, but if you really want help, the most important help is spiritual help. That's the most important help. But see, we live in a society today that we've so minimized spiritual things. We've so minimized it. We've so minimized preaching. To be honest, we live in a culture that's They absolutely are repulsed by preaching. Don't get to preaching to me now, preacher. Oh, just give me something happy now. Don't go and tell me something bad. Give me something happy. But you know what? The Bible already told us. Paul told us that was going to happen. You don't have to turn there, but make a note if you're making notes. 2 Timothy chapter 4, here's what the Bible says. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. Now that's what God says as the end times start to happen. We don't want to hear the truth anymore. What we want to do is we want our backs scratched. Have y'all ever been at home and say, ooh, honey, man, will you get that? And I'll say, babe, scratch. And wait, and she'll start scratching. Go up a little bit, up to the right. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all do that? All right, well, when you do it, when she finally hits it, well, you go, oh, that's it right there. You know what I mean? Oh, that feels good. Keep scratching. Not too hard. Now, don't dig him. Well, that's the same picture. Pastor, go ahead. Ooh, that feels good, Pastor. I know I'm such a good person. Tell me how great we are. Oh, that feels good. Ooh, God, I'm not trying to be ugly, but that's why everybody's flocking to Joel Osteen's church. You ever heard that man? And you're going to have a great day. Troubles. You're not going to have any troubles. You conquer them and just live for Jesus and send me money and God will bless. They asked him on national television what you'd have to do to get saved. Listen to me. He wouldn't even tell them the truth. You know why? I'm going to talk about that in a minute. We flock to stuff like that. But listen, I'm going to tell you, that's what Paul said. They just want to have itching ears. Go ahead, Pastor. Scratch right there now. I'll stay there as long as you scratch. But the minute you start getting on me now, you can forget about that. I'm out. That's what God said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 34. That word itching means, you know what it means to rub, to scratch, and then to tickle. Pastor, you can tickle me all you want, but if you start getting in there and digging now, you can forget about that stuff. I've heard people say, oh, come on down to our church. Our preacher, he never preaches on sin. Well, he ain't preaching the Bible. See, these, look at the other words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Here's it says, their own lust. That is, their own taste or wishes. They want to hear things that go with their own lust, their what they like, their enjoyments. People want a preacher who will coincide with their whims. We want a preacher who promotes their own self-worth. We want a preacher who smiles on their lifestyle no matter how we're living it. A preacher who will advocate their errors, look, and could be bought off. Listen to me. Sadly, it's happening today. Now, why? Can I just be honest with y'all? I'm going to get down to the nitty-gritty with y'all. And we're going to preach on this thing as a hammer. Y'all want to know why preachers do that? We're human. I want to ask y'all a question. How many times have y'all been faced with a situation that you're dealing with someone and you love them and you know what they're doing is wrong and you're scared to death to tell them because you know how they're going to respond to you? what are they going to do? Most times they're going to get mad at you. Come on now. So, you know what? We don't do it. That's why many times we won't do it. We say, oh, we'll leave that up to the preacher. Now, these men were human. And preachers today are human. I'm going to be honest with you. I told a man in our church the other day, I said, you know what? We could make things a whole lot easier around here if I just didn't preach the Bible. It'd be so much easier here. We wouldn't care anything about church membership. We wouldn't care about, we wouldn't care about any of that stuff. Why? Because we know asking people to do what God wants them to do, listen to me, many times makes us mad. And there's no one that knows that more than preachers. So preachers through the years have learned this. Man, I got to back up a little bit because if I tell it straight, that's going to make so-and-so mad. If I say it straight, that's going to bother somebody. And so we're human. These men were human. And so I want you to know something. These principles on which the prophets and preachers in our text, they sadly, many of us do it today. Why? Do you think any preacher loves or likes someone being offended by what they say? Do you know what I pray every week? Lord, please give me wisdom. Please give me wisdom. Because I know when people come here, I'm going to preach the Bible, and I'm going to just be honest with you. Sometimes that rubs us the wrong way. But you know what? I know what rubs us the wrong way is also the greatest help we can have. How many of y'all remember that old, some of y'all are going to know what I'm talking about. I'm going to age myself here. How many of y'all know what methylate is? Would y'all raise your hand? Y'all know what methylate is? My mom and dad thought that was the holy punch. My dad especially thought that stuff had Jesus in it. He put methylate on everything. He said, here, Mark. And I said, is that red stuff? Oh, yeah, it's that red. Oh, I don't want it. He said, no, this is mercuricome. I didn't mind mercuricome. It didn't burn. But that methylate lit you up. But guess what? It was the methylate in about a week or a couple of days, maybe even a day, that thing done started drying up, and the thing that hurt me actually was what helped me. Same thing with preaching. Boy, sometimes this stuff's laid down like methylate. You say, ooh, pastor, that stings. Ooh, pastor, that hurts. But you know what? If you'll just heed to it, it'll help you. The true principle should be preachers who will faithfully declare the truth, who will not shrink from just faithfully heralding His word, no matter where they are or no matter who they're talking to. And I'm going to tell y'all something. You say, Pastor, that shouldn't be hard. It's hard. That's tough stuff. When you preach the word and you know there are people that possibly could be offended or hurt by what you're saying, look, that's hard to do. So preachers definitely have a calling. And I want to just clear something up with y'all this morning. You say, Pastor, do you enjoy that part? No, I don't. But I'm going to tell y'all this. I love you too much not to do it. You know, hardest thing to do is to discipline your children. Because you love your children, don't you? But you know what? If you truly love my mom and dad, you say to me, well, I'm doing this because I love you. So I wish y'all didn't love me so much. But you know, you imagine now. I want y'all to stay with me. I don't know where there's a light socket at, but I remember as a boy, I stuck a key in a light, in an outlet. Lit me up. I mean, lit me up. I stuck a key in there. Me and my cousin was playing. I said, oh, man, that's a perfect place. This will be the door. And I stuck that thing in there. And he's like, Mark, what are you doing? I said, what? I went to grab it. Could you imagine if one of your children was walking up here and crawling and they're getting ready to stick a key in one of these outlets, y'all would say, now, don't you do that. One, two. Well, they're lit up by then. Now, if you love them, here's what you're going to do. Every moment, oh, my, don't do that. Why? Because you love them and you're warning them. But that kid don't understand it. He wants that key in that light socket. But you as a mom love him, so you warn him. And it's not always now, dear. But it's awful funny, boy, when the preacher does that. Oh, I tell you right now, I'm not going down there to that preacher. He's mean. I'll quit and never preach again if I'm not motivated by love. I'll quit today. You say, Pastor, why do you have such a desire? And by the way, I've failed many times, but why do you have such a desire to preach this word? I want to tell you, because I love him too much and I love you too much too. And although sometimes the message might be a little tough, I still know it's what we need. See, there's some principles here. No matter which person's house, no matter whose child it is, no matter what social standing they have in the community, no matter what contributions they make to the church, God help me, God help us to always tell people the truth. Have you ever had a preacher hit you pretty hard? I mean, he just wound up, just hit you with that hammer. I mean, just whacked the fire out of you. Bam! And he just keeps hitting. You ever had a message like that? Somebody's preaching and someone, man, he ripped me over the coals. Man, God's been on me all day. How many of you ever had that? How many times have you ever thanked him? How many times have you ever thanked him for swinging the hammer? Remember, this book's a hammer. It's powerful. But it's not always comforting. Amen. See, if a preacher don't hit you every once in a while, he ain't doing it very well. He ain't swinging the hammer. But if he's swinging the hammer, it's going to hit sometimes a little harder than other times. Now, this scripture teaches us the Bible's like a hammer which strengthens our life and our conscience by crushing and breaking the sin of evil in our lives, which will ultimately harm us. You say, Pastor, why do you preach against sin? Because sin's going to destroy you and will destroy me if we hang in there with it. Sin brings death. What's this metaphor represent? What's it teaching about the Word of God? It's talking about a hammer, man. It's powerful. This is a metaphor describing the power of the Word of God. It's been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. Words are so powerful. Words can be weapons. And by the way, we've used them as weapons. But God can also use words to be helpful tools in the life of people. Wise words spoken at the right time can prevent tragedy. A kind word can provide comfort and consolation to someone that's hurting. Just a kind word. God's word is like no other. It's infallible. Hey, it is all sufficient. In the passage, God is revealing the power of his word by using the symbol of a hammer. No, I've got to close. That's the picture that God is using as a hammer. God is painting concerning this holy word as a hammer. Why? Because a hammer will destroy some things. Here's the number one point, and I'm going to close for now, give you a couple of things, and we'll be out of the way. The demolition of the hammer. And when you get a hammer, that hammer, you can demolish things with that hammer. Not only does that hammer build, that hammer will break up. That hammer, especially if it's an old claw hammer, you can rip things apart with it. You can tear things up, so we know that a hammer, we know if there's something hard there, we can keep hitting it and we'll bust the rock, the Bible says. If you have a sledgehammer, boy, you can really wank down on that thing, boy, and you can bust, I mean, big old rocks. It destroys things. By the way, it's a sin destroyer. You can't open up this book without knowing what sin is and what sin will do to you. Hey, a preacher and a Bible is a demolition crew. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you right now, it'll just demolish some things in our life. It ought to be demolishing some sin. The Bible says, is not my word like a hammer, it breaketh the rock in pieces. You know, there's some things that need to be broken. Number one, walls that have been built by Satan, they need to be broken and destroyed. Hey, walls between God and man need to be destroyed. Hey, sin that causes the heart to get hard needs to be busted up and broken and destroyed. We need the hammer to break up the fallow ground that we find in our hearts. We need walls between husbands and wives. We need those walls to be broken down. What breaks them down? The hammer of the Word of God. Hey, walls between a pastor and his congregation. How do you break down the walls that keeps a pastor and the people loving one another? I'm going to tell you, this hammer right here will do it. Hey, it needs to destroy some things. This book will tear down that which is hindering us. This book will tear down that which is hurting our relationship with the Lord. Hey, maybe instead of saying amen, how about we say, swing that hammer, pastor. Swing it, pastor. How many of y'all like to say amen? How about y'all change and say, swing the hammer, pastor. We need this hammer. We need some things broken up in our life. One thing about the hammer, here's another one. Anybody can use it. It's a user-friendly hammer. Hey, so I say, swing the hammer, parents. You say, pastor, I just got a young boy or a young girl. They just won't do what they're told. They're rebellious in their heart. Then keep lovingly swinging the hammer. Keep instilling in their hearts and in their minds the Word of God. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy law. Hey, let me say, moms, dads, swing the hammer. Hey, I say to you, anybody can use it. Hey, husbands, swing the hammer lovingly. Hey, wives, swing the hammer lovingly. Sunday school teachers around here, keep swinging the hammer lovingly. Hey, grandparents, keep swinging the hammer lovingly. Listen, I'm glad that God's people can come out of any place, hey, any background, any environment, and they can use this book. I say swing the hammer. Can I say this morning to use a hammer right, one has nothing to do but to strike it. Just keep swinging. And when you come to use the gospel as it ought to be used, the result is wonderful. It shows its power over the hardness of sin, so keep swinging it. Hey, someone might say, pastor, you don't understand. I've struck at my husband 100 times. Well, keep swinging. Keep striking. After a while, I promise you this, the Word of God and the hammer will break through where it needs to break through. Keep swinging. Hey, someone might say, everything is not encompassed with one stroke. Hey, listen, but I want you to know the rock that does not yield the first time, nor the second time, nor the third time, nor the 20th time will yield at last. Keep swinging the book. You know what's amazing? People will come here in this church and they'll set time after time after time after time after time, and all of a sudden after keep hearing this book, keep hearing this hammer, and this hammer keeps swinging, all of a sudden what starts to take place? It starts to break through the hard ground. And pretty soon you say, man, what happened with so-and-so? Oh, the hammer got a hold of him. Oh, I want you to know. You say, pastor, he's too hard for God. Oh, no, he's not. You say, oh, pastor, she's too hard for God. Oh, no, she's not. I want you to know something. Just keep swinging. I want you to know the gospel still works. And listen, eventually it will break through. And with that, I think I'll tell you one more time. The gospel works. Y'all know what the gospel is? There is a God in heaven that loved us so much. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, sin passed upon every man. And because of that sin, God threw them out of the Garden of Eden. And because of that sin, it separates us from God. So there had to be a way where God brought us back to Him. And I'm so very thankful. His way of doing that was giving His own precious Son. So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Glory, was in heaven. He surrendered His life and says, I'll go. Their sin is many. I will go and pay for their sin. And He came to this old earth. And He was born of a virgin. He was living for 33 and a half years. He never sinned. The Bible said that He was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin. And the Bible said that He came for one reason. That was to go to the old rugged cross. And when He went to the old rugged cross, He was wrongfully tried, wrongfully accused, wrongfully put to death. But yet He did all of that because He loved you and me. He knew that we were sinners. And the only way that sin could be paid for was through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross and He put Himself, He was put in a borrowed tomb, and on 3 days later, He raised from the dead. Listen to me, He just purchased your salvation. He purchased it free and clear, and praise God, the empty tomb is the receipt. And then he says to us, all ye that are heavy laden, let him come unto me. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he should be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Listen to me. We live in a day where people say, oh, you got to get baptized to get saved. You got to give to the church. No, you got to give your heart to Jesus. He's already paid your sin debt. And the Bible says all we must do is call upon the name of the Lord. We trust him. We put our faith in him. Now look, I can look here and say, I believe that chair will hold me. I believe in that chair. I think that chair. But you know what? I ain't putting no faith in that chair. God says, for whosoever believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'm not believing in that chair. When do I believe in that chair? I say, well, I think it'll hold me up. But when am I believing on it? Praise God when I do this right here. Do you know what I just did in this chair? I put complete faith in it. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you get saved, you ain't saved till you put complete faith in Jesus. And when you say, Lord, I'm an old sinner, I can't get to heaven, I can't earn my way there, but Lord, I trust what you did for me on Calvary, and I'm asking you to save me from my sin, and I'm trusting you and you alone for my salvation. God looks at you as though you're a child of God, because that faith becomes righteousness. And I don't know about you, that's the best news I ever heard in my life. And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, today's a good day to get there. And I promise you this, he'll save you from the uttermost to the guttermost. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what all your background is. It makes no difference to him. He loves you. He died for you, and he'll save you today. What a wonderful gift. You say, Pastor, what have you been preaching for years? That same message right there. He said, well, Pastor, it ain't work. Oh, it works. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do next Sunday? I'm going to preach the same thing. I'm going to keep swinging the hammer. And you know what? The gospel's going to keep breaking hearts. Go keep breaking them old hard rocks. If you're here today and your heart is hard, and you say, oh, Pastor, I want you to know, I don't know for sure if I'm saved, you can get that settled right now. You can get that settled right now. And I beg you, do it. Let's stand to our feet, head bowed, eyes closed. Salvation. Pastor, is salvation that simple? It's that simple. But it was expensive. We're getting ready to celebrate Easter. The Lord Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He gave the receipt. I'm glad we go over to the Middle East today. We're not going over there. And you go over there, if you're following Islam, you'll go over and you're going to find a tomb where Muhammad's in it. He's there. But if you go over there to try to find Jesus, listen to me, he ain't there. And the reason being is because he's alive. And he's on the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for us. We serve a living Savior. And by faith I see. You say, Pastor, you ever seen him? Not with these eyes, but praise God, I've seen by faith. I've trusted him as my Savior, and I've never been the same. Now, if you have any doubt about that, this is your day. With head bowed and eyes closed, you say, Pastor Mark, I'm here, and I am 100% sure, boy, the hammer was swung. I heard the gospel, and praise God, I know. By way of testimony, you say, boy, I know that I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior, and I trusted him as my Savior. You say, by uplifted hand, testimony, that's you. Isn't that a blessing that you can say that? Praise God. Now let me ask you this. You say, Pastor Mark, I'm here this morning, and I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know for sure. I can't raise my hand, but I want to know, would you pray for me? I'm going to ask you to be honest. Would you be honest? You say, Pastor, that's me. That's me, just with an uplifted hand. Is there anyone like that this morning? Is there anyone like that? You say, oh, that's me, Pastor. Pray for me. How many of you glad you heard and your heart was broken by the hammer and Jesus is your Savior? God help us to be faithful to the hammer of God's Word. How many of you know the Lord has spoke to your heart about something this morning? You're not ashamed of it. You say, that's me. Would you just slip your hand up? That's me. God bless you. God bless you everywhere. I'm going to ask God to help you to deal with that in the way He wants you to deal with it. Maybe you need to say yes to Him. Maybe you need to say no to other things. But let Him have His way in your heart. They're going to play something on the piano. I'm going to ask you to take this moment. Let the Lord help you. We need the hammer. Our children sometimes need the hammer. Our loved ones sometimes need the hammer. We've talked about the destruction of the hammer, but we're also going to talk about not only the destruction, but the discipline of the hammer and the construction of the hammer. So I'm going to ask you, be back tonight. Let God speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your word. Lord, I pray You'll help us to take Your word seriously. Help us to realize that it's life, it's light, it's food, it's water. And Lord, we ought to be stirred up because we're not stirred up. I pray You'll stir us up. And Lord, I pray You'll help us to be passionate about the things of God. Lord, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Lord, I pray You'll be at the Tiffin family as they're getting ready to go make these arrangements. Death has separated them for a while from their loved one. But Lord, because Your word has not been made light in that family, they have a peace today. And I thank You for that. I pray You'll help all of us. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said. Would you honor, or would you allow me and my wife just for a second? Would y'all allow us to get to the back so we can shake folks' hand? And then give us, honey, you want to head that way? Brother Don, we're going to close. But I want to get back there.
There for just a second, y'all. He wants to shake hands with everyone, and especially our visitors this morning. All right, God bless you. Have a great afternoon. Be back tonight.